Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
You guys ready for church this morning? Come on. Hey, do you have everything you need this morning? All right. All right. How good is God? So good. So good. I'm so grateful to be here this morning with my church family. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Hey, before we start, my name is Pastor Grant. If you don't know, now you do know. I'm the student pastor here at the Fountain Church. And again, today is a special day that we get to be with our church family and grow closer to one another and grow closer to Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be doing that through gratitude. Amen. If you have a copy of the sacred scriptures, please open up to Philippians chapter 4. You can do that with, if you've got the actual Bible, that's cool. If you have a Bible application on a device, go ahead and go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be camping in this section of scripture this whole morning together. We're not going to jump around too much because I really want us to unpack what it means to have gratitude and how it truly can change our lives. Did everyone have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay. What was the best thing that you ate for Thanksgiving? Let me hear. Lasagna? Spaghetti. We did make spaghetti. Hey, if you're on Facebook right now, drop that in the comments. I wanna see some of that stuff. Someone else, what was the best thing, like something that you have that you know is better than everyone else in this room? Potato salad. Charlene's got the potato salad. What's that? Pineapple souffle. Wow. Wow. We just raised the bar. We did it. Mac and cheese. Who's got the best mac and cheese in here? Okay, my wife. I agree. I agree with that. I do. We had a really a sweet Thanksgiving. We went up just with Bridget's parents and one of her brothers. Both of her brothers, and had a really sweet Thanksgiving. Her dad grilled a turkey on his big green egg, and it was really, really good. I'm grateful for that. Today we're going to be talking a little bit more than just some food, some of the spiritual food, some of the things that actually sustains us through life and brings us closer to God. The real reason why we exist on this earth is to grow closer to God, to be closer to our Creator, and to find fulfillment in Him. It's not going to come through turkey. The turkey's going to disappear. It'll be gone. And then you'll be taking a big nap and be disappointed later. And then you'll have to come play Ultimate with me on Saturday at 9:30 like Paul Pasarczyk did to run it off. Come on. Come on. All right. So Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be starting in verse 6 and 7. And before we read, let's just prepare our hearts to enter into the sacred scriptures and hear what God Himself wants to speak to us today. Not Grant, but God. God, we're listening. Would you speak to us? Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't worry about it. Okay, this can feel like one of the worst pieces of advice to give somebody when they're going through a hard time. Don't worry about it. Have you ever had someone tell you that when you're going through something difficult? That's not what you want to hear. Have you ever tried telling someone, giving that piece of advice to someone going through a hard time? It doesn't quite resonate the way that maybe you want it to. It's probably second to calm down. Have you ever tried telling someone to calm down who needs to calm down? Have you ever made the mistake of telling your spouse to calm down? Don't do it. Don't do it. It doesn't work. I'm not saying that because Bridget did it. She tried it with me, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It can feel like a really bad piece of advice to give somebody when they're going through something difficult, when they're super upset. Hey, just calm down, man. No, that doesn't. It feels the same way when you tell someone who is burdened by worry and anxiety to say, don't worry about it. Come on, don't worry about it. But this is so much deeper than just that surface level answer than what sometimes we try to give people who are going through that hard time. It can be frustrating to hear that, but it's really good advice. So Paul is the writer of this book, Philippians, and really Philippians is less of a book and more of a letter that he wrote to a group of Christians in a place called Philippi, and these were the Christians in Philippi, the Philippians that he was writing to, encouraging them to live out their faith and grow closer to Christ and one another and go out and change the world. And this was good advice that Paul was giving them that he didn't just come up with on his own. You know where Paul got this advice from? Jesus. He got it from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually gives all of his followers the same advice. He says, don't worry about everything. The things that you'll eat, the things that you'll drink, the things that you'll wear, don't worry about these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. That's what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew chapter 6. You can go look that up later. Matthew 6, 33. That's a memory verse to hold on to. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. You won't have to worry about anything. So Paul gets this advice from Jesus. And the passage that we're going to focus on, though, in Philippians chapter 4, he really does a good job of showing us what it looks like to maintain through a time where you may be worried, how to push through and overcome that worry. Because I know sometimes it feels like, well, I can't help but worry about a situation. I know what that feels like, walking through something that you are just filled with anxiety over. So we are going to go through this passage together today. And what I hope that we all take away from it, if you're taking notes today, let me just pause there. I would love for everybody not just to be passive listeners whenever you come to a church gathering, whether in person or online, okay? God is speaking. Grant's, you know, I am just a vessel today. I'm just up here as a mouthpiece. Really, like, to everybody, it looks like I'm speaking, but really, God is speaking in our midst today. He has something for you, and it may not even be something that comes out of my mouth. The Holy Spirit may impress something on your heart today that you needed. Don't miss it by just passively listening. Actively listen. Write some things down that jump out to you, that stick out to you. Maybe something you didn't hear, that you haven't heard in a specific way before. Write that down so that you don't lose what God wants for you today. All right? So can we be active listeners today? All right? And then after we're active listeners, we're going to be doers of the word. Yes? Not just listeners, but doers. All right? So one of the thing I want everybody to take away from this today, write this down if you're writing stuff down. An attitude of gratitude is the antidote to anxiety. An attitude of gratitude is the antidote to anxiety. Let's walk through this passage again together. Don't worry about anything, but in everything. So right after Paul tells us not to worry, he tells us in which situations we should not worry. In everything, not just in most things, because come on, Paul, there are some things that are worth worrying about. No. No. Paul qualifies it and says in everything. He shuts down our natural rebuttal we have by qualifying his exhortation. He says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, before he continues on and tells us what to do in everything. I get it. Like sometimes you can't control your initial reaction to something, right? Like if I came over right now and pulled your chair out from under you, you couldn't help but be upset at me, all right? You could choose what you do afterwards, whether or not, you know, how you're going to respond to me, but you couldn't control your initial reaction of being upset and shocked and like, why would a pastor do that? That's such a rude thing to do. You really can't control your reactions. Okay, so watch this, okay? I need everybody to participate on this one. You guys ready? Okay, what does P-E-E-K-A spell? Boo! Okay, all right. I maybe got one person. Thank you. All right. Okay. I tried it. Saw it on TikTok. Didn't work. Yeah, sometimes you can't control your reaction to stuff, but you can control how you respond afterwards, right? So sometimes there are going to be these situations that pop up in your life where I can't, man, this is horrible. This is a terrible situation. And you initially feel that gut response of, I'm worried about this. I'm anxious. But you get to choose what you do with that afterwards. There are many, many things in this life, so many things that are out of your control. But the one thing you can always control is what? How you respond. That's the one thing you always, if you're a control freak in here today, let me set you free. Let me set you free, because there is only one thing that you can absolutely control in your life. That's how you respond to the things that happen around you. Because things are going to happen to you. Following Jesus doesn't negate bad things from happening to you. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Stuff's going to happen. But you control how you respond to your circumstances, to the things that happen to you. So there will be many things that naturally cause you to feel worry or anxiety. And this exhortation that Paul gives us in Philippians chapter 4 isn't to discourage you. It's not to make you feel like you're not succeeding in following Christ if you initially feel worried or anxious about something. The exhortation is how will you respond? Will you choose to participate in the worry or anxiety? Will you choose to sit in it? Or will you do what Paul and Jesus commands us to do? Do not worry. Will you walk that out? Will you try to put the do not worry into practice? Please don't hear this message from me today, okay? If you don't like it, take it up with Paul. Take it up with Jesus. Because that's who is giving this. So relatively speaking, I have lived a very privileged life. I'm a white male who grew up in the South in America in a household with two loving parents who are still married today. Praise God. That's awesome. How many years? 32 years. That's excellent. So I never went hungry growing up. I had access to the best public education in Alabama. It was pretty good, all right? Very good, actually. You're just going to have to trust me. Google it later. I've always had every one of my needs met. And yeah, I have experienced hardship in my life, but I know I am extremely unqualified to speak into the situations that some of you have experienced and may be walking through right now. I know that. I have lived a very, very privileged life. I'm not going to pretend like I can relate to every situation that people are walking through right here today. But I'm not the one speaking today. The exhortation I'm presenting to all of us today isn't advice that I've gleaned from my very privileged life so far. These are the divine words of Christ, who knows suffering better than any of us. Better than any of us. Put together, Christ knows suffering. He has walked through it, and he's the one giving this exhortation. Don't worry about what you are going through. Don't worry. The writer Paul, who gets his, he gets this message from Jesus himself, the writer Paul is especially qualified to reiterate Christ's command to not worry in everything. Paul, who was originally Saul, was a highly respected leader in the Jewish community in the first century. That is, until he turned his life over to Jesus. And from that point forward, he was known as Paul, the writer of Philippians and much of the New Testament. From that point forward, he was rejected from the community he'd known his whole life. He was ridiculed. He was slandered. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He received multiple threats on his life. And while he was penning these words in Philippians, writing to the Christians in Philippians, while he was penning these words to not worry, he himself was in prison, suffering. This man is qualified to tell us not to worry. Amen? I'm going to let Paul speak that to all of us today, to not worry. Don't hear it from Grant, hear it from Paul, hear it from Jesus. Not once in his whole letter to the Philippians does Paul complain about his circumstances to his readers. Not once. Philippians is a short letter, book. Go ahead and read through it. Take some time and look. You won't find one time when Paul bemoans his circumstances and talks about how bad it is, how he wishes things were different. Not once. Instead, he tells the Philippians that he actively thanks God for them. Instead of asking them to pray for his release from prison, this is what he tells them in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul doesn't talk about, guys, do everything you can to get me out of here. I need you to change my circumstances. Pray on my behalf. You know, this is, they're not giving me enough food, enough water to drink. Please, you know, petition Christ to get me out of here. He gives this exhortation. Christian, can you put that scripture back up there? He says again that his hope is that he won't be ashamed about anything, but that now, as he's in prison, as always, with all courage, Christ would be honored in his body. Whether he lives through this or dies through this, he wants Jesus to be glorified. He's not worried about his circumstances. He is wanting Christ to be seen through the way he's living his life within these circumstances, because he knows who's in charge. He knows who's on the throne. He knows that whether he lives or dies, God still wins. God still got this. These circumstances are temporary, but I serve an eternal God. He's qualified to tell us not to worry, and I hope, myself included, I need to glean this from Paul today. If anyone had any reason to worry or complain, it was Paul. But he tells us instead, do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So, we know that sometimes our initial response to a situation may be to worry, but we are called to not stay there. Paul tells us what to do instead. Through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. We pray. That's what we do instead. That's how we defeat anxiety and worry in our lives. That's how we battle it, right? I'm not going to tell you that immediately when you pray, all of those feelings of worry and anxiety will immediately disappear. No, sometimes, but you have to fight through it. You never give up. And this is how you defeat it, is by continually coming to God, bringing in your Creator on your side, inviting Him into your situation. We pray. We offer up our situation and circumstances to God, all the while maintaining this attitude of gratitude in everything. All right? Hear the qualifier. When Paul tells us to, through prayer and petition, what does he say to do it with? Thanksgiving. Yes. So while we're doing all of this, while we're continually praying, we're doing it with this attitude of gratitude, this thanksgiving, recognizing who God is and what He has done up to this point, being grateful for every single thing that God has done and for who He is. This was a theme that Paul called back to when he was writing to another group of Christians in another area called Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. He was writing to them. And in his first letter to the Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, he says that we should rejoice always, to pray constantly, to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Having an attitude of gratitude in our prayers puts things into the correct perspective, right? Have you guys ever seen some crazy optical illusions? I'm thinking have you seen those chalk drawings on the street where, you'll have to look this up later, I wish I had an image for it, but there are these artists who are so talented, they're able to make this like 3D art on streets. And when you look at it from a certain perspective, it looks like crazy. It doesn't look like anything. It just looks like a really distorted image. But when you position yourself at the right angle, it's like this thing comes up out of the ground. Or maybe there's like a giant hole in the ground. And it's amazing to see what changing your perspective can do. Look, having an attitude of gratitude really does put life in the right perspective. It helps us view life and our circumstances, ourselves, through the correct lens, through the lens that God has designed us to view things through. Sin distorts everything, okay? It distorts your view of the world. It distorts your view of your neighbor. It distorts your view of yourself, okay? Honestly, just being real with my church family, that's probably one of the things I've struggled with in my personal walk with Christ, is really believing what Jesus thinks about me, right? Is seeing myself the way that God does. God has a lens that He wants us to view the whole world, even ourselves, through. And having an attitude of gratitude helps shift us to the correct lens to view the world through and ourselves. Gratitude is recognizing that the good in our life has not come from our own efforts. Okay, if you want to write something down, write this down. Gratitude is recognizing that the good in our life has not come from our own efforts, but from the overflow of love that God has for us. That's what gratitude is. I didn't do this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve the breath in my lungs. This is a gift to me today. I don't deserve the food on my table. This is a gift from God. I don't deserve the pennies in my bank account. That's a gift from God. That is God's. I don't deserve any of this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's gratitude. And when we adopt gratitude, when we regularly thank God, we refocus our lens on who is really in control. Okay? So if you're worried, instead of viewing problems as big, when we're worried, we're looking at this problem, all we see is that. Like, it's blocking our view from the rest of the perspective that God wants us to have, because you're just solely focused on this issue, this problem, this circumstance. When we adopt gratitude, instead of viewing the problem as big, we view our God as big. And then the problems lose their intimidation. The key to not worrying in any circumstance is praying without ceasing. It's maintaining this attitude of gratitude towards God. So if you're worried today, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and tell me if you're worried today about something. If you're worried today, listen, my question for you is, how often are you praying? If it's not all the time, you need to step it up. That's me too. I got to step it up. Because Paul exhorts us to pray without ceasing. You know how often that is? It's all the time. No breaks, no breaths, all the time. How many of you think that you can be on your knees with your eyes closed, hands folded, all the time? Well, fortunately, that's not what he's telling us to do. A lot of us have this misconception of what prayer is, of this like incredibly formal thing that we do on Sundays and before meals. And honestly, yeah, prayer can be a very intimidating thing if no one has ever taught you how to pray. The ministry school that Bridget and I went to required 20 hours of prayer each week. We had to log prayer hours at the school of ministry. They had a prayer room that was had the lights low, had the real soft music going to get you, you know, meditating and eventually take a nap. And that is, that's really what 20 hours of prayer meant to a lot of folks. Maybe that happened to me a couple times. But we got to clarify, what is prayer? What is it? I've said before, simply, that prayer is just talking with God. And I was reflecting a lot about that, and I think that is incomplete. Prayer really is communing with God. Let me explain it this way. Like right now, I'm talking with you all. Okay? I'm preaching. I'm a preacher today, as Bob would say. Back, you know, Bob Williamson. He doesn't call us pastor, he calls us preacher. I'm preaching, all right? And this is different from the talking that I'll do with some of you after the service. It's different from the talking that I do when I'm playing a game with my family. And what's really special, though, is are the relationships that I have where I can just be in the same space with somebody and not have to be saying anything, because it's just satisfying being present with them. Just being in the same space with them is fulfilling enough on its own. Okay, that's what communing is. We don't always have to be saying something to be communing with God. Having God on our minds, in our thoughts, inviting him into our day, just thinking about him. That's prayer. That's communing with God, recognizing throughout your day, oh, God, you're so good. Man, thank you for this day. Like, this is great weather. Thank you. Oh, this is good food. Thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you, Jesus. These are ways that we commune with God. It really is the same. Like, in our relationships with people, you have those special relationships where you're just satisfied just being in the same space with them. It's the same with our relationship with God. While there should always be a recognition of who we're talking to, the King of Kings, our Creator, we should talk to God informally throughout our days, regularly thinking of him throughout our day. That's prayer. That's what it looks like. Guys, you don't have to have your hands folded, your eyes closed, your head bowed to be praying in a pleasing way to God. We can pray to him, and we should, throughout the day, just by thinking of him, just by being with him, communing with him. This is what it looks like to pray without ceasing. Lester tells us before our service, we have a gathering and all our team receives communion together. And he tells us, you know, I was praying in the car, and don't worry, I didn't have my eyes closed on the way. Because that's dangerous, so don't do that. But yeah, like prayer can be this informal thing. Don't let prayer intimidate you. God wants to spend time with you, friends. God wants that. He wants to spend time with you. Start today. If prayer is not a regular part of your life, my young friends, my older friends, please do this. It's not too late. It's not too soon. Start praying. Invite God into your life. We should talk with God. And so there's a book that I love. I'm making my way slowly through it again. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God, and it's by Brother Lawrence. He was a Carmelite monk in France in the 17th century, and it's actually free. So if you Google Practice of the Presence of God, one of the first results that you'll get is a free ebook of that book. And I would encourage you, like, it's very short. It's a very short read. You should take a look at this. So Brother Lawrence really got what it meant to just spend time with God, just to commune with God. His prayer life was extraordinary, and he was especially close to God. And so this book is a collection of like conversations that people had with Brother Lawrence, asking him about, you know, how have you gotten this close to God? Like, what are you doing differently? And it's just this collection of some of those conversations, some letters that he wrote encouraging people. Kind of like the epistles, what Paul is doing in this passage we're reading through. But this is what Brother Lawrence did. Listen very carefully, talking about his prayer life. His prayer was nothing else but a sense of the presence of God. His soul being at the same time insensible to everything but divine love. And that when the appointed times of prayer passed, he found no difference because he still continued with God, praising and blessing him with all his might so that he passed his life in continual joy. I'm going to read this one more time. It's a little bit wordy. I need us to hear this today. So, Brother Lawrence, like, there were these appointed times of prayer. Right now, Sunday, 11 a.m. till 12:15, maybe later sometimes. That's an appointed time of prayer. Wednesday gatherings, 6:30 p.m. That's an appointed time of prayer that we regularly get together as the church family. Before your meals, appointed time of prayer. If you have like a quiet time in the morning, appointed time of prayer. Brother Lawrence, he lived in this monastery, and they would have these regular prayer hours throughout the day that they would participate in prayer together. And he said that he found no difference between those times and the rest of his life because he continued with God outside of those appointed times of prayer, praising and blessing him with all his might so that he passed his life in continual joy. Last week, Pastor Mike encouraged us to tell God, "You're welcome." And not like in a weird, offhanded southern remark of, "You're welcome." You're waiting for him to say thank you back to us. But you are welcome here. You're welcome. That was his challenge to us. That challenge still stands. That's what prayer is inviting God into every moment of your day, praying continually, praying without ceasing. Within that prayer, it should be filled with thanksgiving and an attitude of gratitude. So the challenge this week that I'm giving you, on top of that, on top of saying you're welcome, is telling Jesus, thank you. I'm going to teach you a prayer that has helped me grow closer to God throughout my life. And I want every person, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, to put this prayer into practice this week. Are you ready? Repeat this after me. Are you ready? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Simple but powerful prayer that we can all implement, whether you're an expert prayer or you're just starting off. Thank you, Jesus. The next level to that challenge is the moment that you feel frustration arising. Thank God for something. If you're in traffic, thank you, Jesus. Find something to thank Him for. Customer service, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They get your order wrong, thank you, Jesus. You're in an argument with your spouse, step away. Thank you, Jesus. Find something you're grateful for. Put things in the right perspective. When we adopt this attitude of gratitude in constant prayer instead of remaining in our worry, this is what will happen. Going back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Because an attitude of gratitude is the antidote to anxiety. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so, so thankful for everything that you have done, everything that you will do, everything you are to us. You're our sustainer. You're the breath of life in our lungs. You're our source of life, our giver of mercy. We don't deserve what you've done for us, for making a way for us to be part of your family. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray for all of us that you would help us to adopt this attitude of gratitude, myself included. Just remind us throughout the day to commune with you. Remind us when our thoughts stray from you, just gently bring us back into communion with you. Help us, God. We need it. For man, this is impossible, but with you, all things are possible. And we just want to spend time with you. We want to be close to you. Help us to be grateful in all circumstances, like your servant Paul and like your son Jesus. Make us like you in every way. Amen. At this time, we're about to do one of the most sacred things that the church has done since its foundation. This is one of the ways that we especially get to commune with our Lord, that He provided for us. Is communion. And if you're at home, if you have the elements, we would love for you to participate with us. If you're here, you should have gotten your elements before you entered into the room. And before we receive this communion together, the scriptures exhort us to examine ourselves, to confess our sins, to be washed clean of those things, and then come before our God fresh and new. Clean slate, pure heart. And this communion today will be grace to us, to empower us to live for Him. Let's pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins. I'll lead this prayer, and if you want to just agree in your heart, you're welcome to. Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we have sinned against you in our thoughts and our words and in our deeds. We've not loved you with our whole hearts, nor have we loved neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.